Tonight, I'm going to answer the question for some who may have it. It's one that I hear from time to time. What good is it to speak in tongues? Why should we speak in tongues? And one of the things that I had intended to share tonight, I probably will tonight, but I'm pressed this morning to share it. Maybe somebody's here that's not going to be here tonight needs to see this. And while we were praising and worshiping God, he began to speak to me when the word of the Lord came from over here, just prior to the word coming over here, and then the confirmation of it was in that word. And by the way, if you're not sure what was going on here with all these people talking out loud from around, you heard the gift of the Holy Ghost, the charismatic gift of speaking in other tongues for the edification of the assembly from here. And then the interpretation of what was said, not the translation, but the interpretation in the common tongue, or here. And then you heard the unknown tongue once again. And then you heard the interpretation of that tongue. And then we had a revelation that came from the Lord here, that was the word of the Lord. And the prophetic utterance here, the gift of prophecy that was coming over here. And I think I missed some. Yes, right there. Yes, I knew we had some prophecy this morning. But, it's like it. I don't mean this to be irreverent. But do you know how it is at Christmas time when you're a child and you have so many gifts? And you open them up, and when you get to about gift 7 or 8, you forgot what the first ones were. That's really the way it is in the kingdom of God. That's the way I feel this morning. Here we are, God giving his wonderful gifts, but it's so abundant. It just keeps flowing that it's easy to forget the gifts of the Lord. Where was I? Oh, yes. Maybe we just go back and praise him some more. How about that? Just thank him and worship him and bless him. The word of the Lord came here in confirmation, and where he said to celebrate. To celebrate. And the scripture that the Lord just was driving home to me was 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also as living or lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, God's purpose in the church. He is building the church out of living stones. If you have been born again, you're alive in the Spirit. You are a lively or a living stone. God takes that stone, your stone, and he puts it with mine and all of the rest of the stones all across the world, living stones, and he builds them together a spiritual house. And one of the purposes that he has for that house is to offer up spiritual praises. Now, what is a spiritual praise? I think the church as a whole could agree that one of its most important ministries is to offer up spiritual praises. But the church, unfortunately, does not agree as to what is a spiritual praise. And many Christians today are offering up what they believe are spiritual praises that are not spiritual praises at all. They're praises, but they're not very spiritual. I tell you, I've been in churches, and so have you. And not to put down any one church. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to make a point now as to the purpose and the will of God, and I have to have something to compare it to in order for you to understand it. Going to church and opening up the hymnal and singing, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a Now, you can call that spiritual praise if you want to, but it ain't. And I don't mean that to be a mockery. There's nothing wrong with that hymn. There's nothing wrong with singing hymns in the church. But that is not spiritual praise. John chapter 4 and verse 24 tells us, 23 and 4, but the hour cometh, and now is. These are the words of Jesus. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, those that are offering spiritual worship, shall worship the Father in spirit as well as in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. What is He seeking? He is seeking a spiritual house that will offer up spiritual sacrifices, spiritual praise, who will worship Him in the Spirit. For God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, that still does not completely answer the question, what is spiritual worship? What is spiritual praise? What is spiritual sacrifice? I believe that question is best answered, not all inclusively by any means, but certainly specifically in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. If you're following in your Bibles, turn with me to that passage and read with me verse 14 and verse 15. The words of the Apostle Paul, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Paul said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying. When I sing in an unknown tongue, my spirit is singing. What is spiritual worship? What is spiritual praise? What does it mean to offer spiritual sacrifices unto a spirit God? It means singing and praising and rejoicing in the unction that the Spirit of God gives. And that's God's purpose for us. And for us to stand resisting the work of the Holy Spirit is for us to deny the Spirit of God the opportunity to work in us to produce the spiritual sacrifices that God said it's His desire that His church do. And it would be the same thing as building a barn without a door in it. You couldn't get anything in and you couldn't get anything out. God is building a spiritual house in which He is putting His Spirit, and out of which are coming spiritual sacrifices and spiritual worship and adoration under the unction of the Spirit man, not contaminated by the traditions and the opinions of men, but inspired by the liberty and the truth that God's Spirit gives in the inner man. Most of man's worship, you must understand this. This is so important for us. When man fell, when Adam sinned, his spirit died, his mind was polluted by sin, and his body also was contaminated by the effects of sin. Because of sin, beloved, we cannot trust our minds concerning the most important things of life. It's not to be trusted, because it is touched and tainted with sin. Do you understand that? Now, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit was made new. It's pure. It's whole. It's clean. And it moves in the flow of the Spirit of God. And what comes out of your spirit will be in line with God and in line with His Word. It is a pure sacrifice. It's a pure worship. It's a pure praying. But when we worship out of here, and when we pray out of here, and when we offer sacrifices out of here, it's not pure. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Because your mind is as yet unredeemed in the same way your body is. When you were born again, you didn't get a new mind, did you? And your mind is touched. You see, it's affected by the things which it has heard over the years. And unfortunately, a great deal of what we have heard is not the truth. Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter, when he was talking to the religious people of his day, he said in the 13th verse that you make the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many other such like things do you do. Matthew, the 15th chapter, has the same passage. Because of the traditions that we have heard, things that we've been taught, you have done the same thing I've done. You've sat in churches, and you have listened to a man from behind a pulpit like this preach what you thought was the Word of God, but you didn't get the Word of God. You received it as the Word of God, but it wasn't the Word of God. It's what he thought the Word of God was, and it's what he was taught the Word of God was. Now, I say to you here in this place, and you know that I've always felt this way, and I always will feel this way, what I declare to you, you require me to demonstrate it by the Word of God, or you need not receive it. If I don't preach to you the Word, don't you be terribly concerned about whether you understand it or receive it or act on it. But beloved, if I preach to you the Word of God, it's at your peril that you do not receive it and stand upon it and act upon it. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, the 30th and the 31st verse, turn over there and watch this. And this is what we're going to be doing today concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, the devil hates the work of the Holy Spirit. He'd do everything he can to bring confusion into this part of the ministry of God in the earth, to keep people separated from the truth concerning the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But beloved, if you want to know the truth, today you can know it. God doesn't withhold it from you. He wants you to know the truth. John 8 and verse 30, 31 and 2. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. This is Jesus speaking. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If, two-letter word, very important, if ye continue, also an important word, in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It was only for me personally. It was by my continuing in the Word of God that I saw what God's truth was concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when I saw the truth, that truth made me free. And today I'm free. Praise the Lord. And today you can be free too. But it'll only come by hearing, believing, and acting upon this freedom-giving, liberty-producing truth. Whatever you have heard in the past about the work of the Holy Spirit, much of what you have heard has been all the things that the Holy Spirit is not doing today. Does that surprise you, that you would hear more about what the Holy Spirit is not doing than you would about what He is doing? And shouldn't that indicate to us where that message is coming from? Even when it's coming from good, godly men who have been taught wrong, who have been taught apart from the Word of God. Now listen to the Word of God today, this morning, and tonight. Listen to the Word of God and act upon what God said, not what you think He said or what somebody else said he said, but what he actually said. God's truth will set you free and bring you to that place where you can, in fact, do what God has said he wants us to do, and that is to offer up spiritual sacrifices, spiritual worship, where we may celebrate in the Spirit the work that he has done in us. Praise the Lord.